We're talking with Jim Brandstetter. You hear him with Dan Miller on Detroit Lions broadcast on 1450 WHTC. We'll talk a little bit about that aspect of his duties momentarily. But, Brandy, first of all, your thoughts as it's been a day plus now after the Super Bowl had ended, and it was a convincing Seattle victory, more in the case of what we saw with Super Bowls in the early years where it was completely one-sided. The Seahawks came, they saw, and they conquered at the Meadowlands over a Denver team that looked out of its class.
Yeah, they really did. And I guess when you look at it and you look back in hindsight, maybe the Super Bowl was played 2 weeks prior to the game when Seattle beat San Francisco. Because when you looked at that game with Denver, you know, you, I think, saw the two best teams in the league when you saw San Francisco and Seattle play. Because Seattle defensively just took Denver completely out of their game. I mean, Peyton Manning didn't have a chance until really late in the game to get anything done at all. And that was well after it was decided. When your defense and your special teams are, you know, account for better than 20 of your 38 points, man, you got yourself something going, and you're right. It was a completely outclassed Denver team in that Super Bowl. It was one of those Super Bowls where you remember the commercials more than you do the game.
Yeah, and I saw those orange jerseys and thought, oh, no, Denver has never done well in orange jerseys in the Super Bowl, and here we go again.
Yeah, yeah. Reminded you a little bit of Washington when they put up 30 on them in the second quarter. But the deal was this was so different because the defense was so dominant. Offensively, Seattle was just okay, but defensively, they were just dominant, and Denver didn't have an answer.
Jim, you've seen trends in the NFL over the years of doing color commentary for Detroit Lions broadcast with Mark Champion and now Dan Miller, and this Seattle team under Pete Carroll really has sort of galvanized itself into now the NFL champions, but. It just didn't seem like 3 years ago this was an organization that could be capable of doing this, and all of a sudden, whammo, they're the Super Bowl champs.
Yeah, and I think that when you look at it, again, defense was their key. They didn't turn the ball over. They had a quarterback that was mobile. They had a couple of playmakers offensively. Percy Harvin coming back was a huge help to them. Marshawn Lynch was, again, all season long kind of the hammer. But Russell Wilson was just good enough, and he was mobile enough that they were able to move the football. They got receivers that were just good enough that could play, and Wilson kind of extended plays. But the fact that they're able to run and play so fast defensively and take away so many options to the other guy's offense, that was the difference in their team. As you saw them play San Francisco, the only issues they had was with the speed of a Kaepernick. And when they had a relatively immobile Peyton Manning back there, man, they just turned it loose. And that kind of, I think, is the recipe as you go forward of how you play defense. I mean, it's about having linebackers that can run, having defensive ends and guys that can really get after the quarterback, and man-to-man cover guys on the edges. And if you got that, you can compete.
We're talking with Jim Brandstetter, who is the color commentator for Detroit Lions radio broadcasts here on 1450 WHTC. And as you saw the Super Bowl and as you saw the playoffs play out, do you get a sense that, if nothing else, the talent gap between the teams that did get into playoffs, the teams that eventually won the Super Bowl, and the Lions really isn't that great at all, which makes what happened at the end of the season even more frustrating?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, and I think, too, the other thing is to get to the Super Bowl, to get to the final game, you got to be healthy. And your key guys have to be healthy. I mean, you know, Seattle was very good, but when they put Percy Harvin in there, which they didn't have pretty much all year long, that gave them that one offensive big playmaker that, you know, put them kind of over the top. They didn't have much during the season, but they were able to survive. And I think that's the other key when you look. You can't get injured, and you got to go into that game, that playoff run, hopefully as healthy as you possibly can. But, yeah, that's the recipe, and I think the Lions look at it and say, you know, there are guys out there that we could have beaten, that we could have played, that we could have beaten, But during the regular season, you can't lay down. You can't, you know, drop those games that you're supposed to win. And that's what the Lions did. You know, you've got to be consistent. And you've got to get in the tournament. Once you're in the tournament, once you're in the playoffs, then, you know, you can raise your level. You might get a break. You might get a bad call. And sometimes these games are decided on those things, or decided on an injury, or decided on somebody slipping and falling. I mean, look at Green Bay against Chicago in the final game getting in the playoffs. They ran a wrong route. They ran the wrong play. But somehow Cobb got behind the defense, and Aaron Rodgers threw a touchdown, and boom, from a team that loses six or seven straight there in the playoffs. Now, that's kind of what it's like. And if you don't make those plays, if you, during the season, lose those games you shouldn't lose, like the Lions did, you're gonna be on the outside looking in. And that's not the way you got to do it. You got to develop a consistency that every week you go out and you get that win, so that at the end of the year you're looking at 10 wins. Like New England. New England, you know, their expectation isn't just to make the playoffs. Their expectation is to make 10, 11 wins, get home field advantage, and get to the Super Bowl. That's their expectation. And the Lions need to get that thing kind of in their eyes, that their expectation isn't just to get to the playoffs, but to get to the Super Bowl.
And a guy that has been there in terms of an assistant coach and as a head coach is now guiding the Lions. Jim Caldwell has come in with some mixed reviews. Some thought that it was sort of a second choice after Ken Whisenhunt decided to go to Tennessee. Others say, hey, he was a solid enough choice and should have been the first choice from day one. From your point of view and having seen Caldwell's teams from the other side, do you get a sense that he's going to bring some of that consistency and stability that maybe the Lions have lacked over the last few years?
Yes, I think he will, and the reason I say that is because he comes from an outfit that does that. I mean, the Colts for a lot of years, and they had Peyton Manning in the mix, but the Colts for a lot of years were that team that every year you knew they were going to make the playoffs and they were going to be a team that made a run. He was on that staff with Tony Dungy, who figured out how to do that. And then when he got to be the head coach, he took him to a Super Bowl. Then the year that he loses his quarterback, he gets fired. Well, that's just the nature of the beast. Then he goes over to, in my judgment, he goes over to Baltimore, and he takes over a job as a coordinator after about 10 games and leads them and lets Joe Flacco have one of the best years of his life, the best playoff runs of quarterbacks recently, under his tutelage and his offensive coordinator job to win another Super Bowl. So I think the guy has shown that he's got the experience and he's got the pedigree to get teams there, and he knows the formula of how to do it. The big thing is, and I think he said it when he was introduced as the coach, we've got to get Matthew Stafford going and get him to a consistent level. And that, to me, was the biggest thing he could have said, because as you know, that the quarterback makes a huge difference in the NFL, most important player on the field. Even though that I think it's a great team game, the quarterback is that key guy. And if Matthew Stafford plays at a high, consistent level that he's capable of, we've seen him play, the Lions can be a playoff team. And that's what he looked at and he said can happen.
Jim, you and I have go back many years, not only professionally, but we've grown up in Michigan. And unfortunately, I was born a few months after the Lions won their last championship in 57. So, you know, all I've known is, struggling and being known as George Plimpton's team. But the thing is, though, is it overrated to say that the Lions need to have a winning culture and that they've really lacked that on a consistent basis over the years and, dare I say, decades?
You know, I don't think it's overrated to say it, because the evidence has shown that, you know, they haven't been to a Super Bowl. You know, they haven't been a consistent winner and gotten to the playoffs. What's the reason? I don't know. Obviously, players make the difference. Quarterbacks makes the difference when you really look at it analytically. And right now, they've got players that I think are good enough to get to the playoffs. I don't know whether they're good enough to get to the Super Bowl. But they got good enough players, in my judgment, to make the playoffs. And that's the first step. And, I wish I had an answer for that question. I call it a curse. It's like the curse of the Bambino. Maybe this is the curse of Bobby Lane. But the Lions need to somehow break through it, and I think it comes from within, and it comes from the players. You know, everybody talks about the owners and all that. You know, the owners own a team. They spend a lot of money, the Lions do. They spend the cap money. It's about getting players and putting the right pieces together to get that right chemistry, to get yourself a Seattle-like run, or to get a, you know, I mean, let's face it, you know, would New England have had the run that they have if it weren't Bill Belichick and Tom Brady at a point in time coming together and becoming this dynamic duo, if you will, at New England to have this 10 to 12 year run that they've had? It's about those two guys. It's not about New England, the name, the geographic location. And that's what I think the Lions need to do is find those two guys. Maybe it's Caldwell and Stafford. Maybe that duo will now turn around and become a 6, 7, 8 year run where this team every year is pushing themselves into the playoff area and they get better and better. They do a better job of drafting. They stay healthy and all the things that you need to have happen to you. You got to be really good, but you got to be lucky to get to the Super Bowl and win it. And I think that that's kind of what you need to do. I don't know whether the stars need to be aligned or what. But the first things you have to do as an organization is put the pieces in place in order to allow the stars to be in the right spot.
A couple more things, Jim Brandstetter, and we'll let you go. And we appreciate you chatting with us this morning. And we've talked a little bit about the Super Bowl and, of course, talked a little bit about the Lions. You hear Jim with Dan Miller broadcasting Detroit Lions games here on 1450 WHTC. But, of course, when you mention the name Jim Brandstetter, you think of the Block M, a Michigan man, a Bo Schembechler man, and certainly associated with the maize and blue for many, many years. As the man that has seen Michigan football with Frank Beckman for many years in the broadcast booth at Michigan Stadium and around the Big Ten, as you look at the Michigan football program now, under Brady Hoke, you see a program that is trying to get back into some of the glory days when it was, first it was Bo and then Mo and then Lloyd Carr. It slipped a little bit with Rich Rodriguez, and Brady Hoke is trying to bring it back, but it's a little bit tougher than a lot of people would have thought, I would think.
Well, it's been tough because the other guys are really good, too. I mean, Michigan State and Ohio State have both been very, very good in the last few years, and let's face it, those are the two big rivals that Michigan faces and people compare them to every year. So, that's been part of Brady's difficulties getting over the hump with those two teams. Now he's beaten them both, you know, since he's been at Michigan, but, it's about a consistently, winning situation over those two teams that gets your alumni and your faithful kind of back in your corner. I think Brady's doing a great job personally. He's recruiting as well as he can. He's going after big name players and he's recruiting nationally. He's not taking a backseat to anybody. He's walking into the same homes that Alabama, Notre Dame, Southern California, Ohio State, and the rest of them are walking into and competing for young men to come to school and play football. And that to me is, you know, where you need to be if you're at Michigan. You're a national program, you recruit nationally, you recruit the best out there. And he's been doing that. I think that this year also the new offensive coordinator, Nussmeier, who comes in from Alabama, who they just hired in January, was an answer, if you will, to an issue that I think that they had over 2 years. And I think they're headed in the right direction. They're recruiting well. They've got a great staff, in my judgment. And that's, to me, 1A. You have a great head coach who loves the program and knows the situation, and that's done. You need a great staff, and I think that that's done. Now you need to get those players on and play at a high, high level, and they're on the way to doing that. And, again, it's a key deal there is having a quarterback and getting those offensive and defensive linemen so you can win the battles of the line of scrimmage. You mentioned wandering around the Big Ten. If you don't have a line in defensively or offensively and win those battles up front of the line of scrimmage, you're not going to do well in the Big Ten. And that's where Michigan, I think, needs to really improve.
Yeah, because
but they're working at it.
Yeah, because when a Michigan team has problems rushing the football, you scratch your head.
Yeah, you scratch your head and you say, man, what is that all about? Well, they've got to get that fixed. And Brady knows it. I mean, he's not sitting up there in a vacuum. He understands that he's got to run the football better. And they will. Because what's his philosophy? You know it, and I know it. He comes from the old school. You run the ball and stop the run. And that's, I mean, that should be kind of one of those things that goes on up over a door of his office. And he'll get it done.
And the other thing along those lines, too, Jim, and on my last comment on the whole situation, is the fact that maybe 2014 is the first real year you can gauge Brady Hoke, because for the most part, it will be a Brady Hoke team. Most of the players, the skill players especially, but most of the players that had been around in the Rich Rodriguez system, which was far different than what Brady wants to run, they've already moved on. This is now all or mostly Brady's players.
Right. The only group here that'll be the holdovers will be the fifth-year seniors. So most of them, yes, will be Brady Hoke players. And I think you saw a little bit of what Brady would like to do last year in the bowl game with Shane Morris at quarterback. Although Devin Gardner is, you know, a Rich Rodriguez holdover, he'll be the quarterback at Michigan next year. There'll be some spread look, and there'll be some quarterback runs and things like that with Devin. But the real offense, I think, that you'll see will be the year after this a little bit. But I still think, you're right. For the most part, 90%, 75%, 80% of this year's team will be Brady Hoke players, and you'll see that kind of offense and that kind of defense. And I think it's going to be fun. I think watching this team mature and grow from what Hoke has been recruiting over the last 3 years is going to be great fun to watch.
And having the battles with Ohio State and the Jolly Green Giants in the same division will be fun, too.
Oh, absolutely. It's going to be tough to win that conference. I mean, that's the toughest division right now, I think, in the Big Ten of the two divisions. And I think that's going to be great fun because that's where it's at, man. Win that division and get to that championship game in Indianapolis. Michigan hasn't been there yet, and I know that bothers them. That bothers that staff because they should be in that game. They want to be in that game every year and compete for the title. And I know that that's a goal of theirs.
Especially with the arch enemies playing against each other last year, I'll tell you that.
Oh, yeah.